So one thing that is important when we surrender is also to increase the range of possibilities from where money, opportunities, and things come. So to open up to more and more impossible streams of gifts to enter our lives. To not judge energy in the form of money, people, connections, things, events, as not mine or not belong to me, but be really, really creative how this abundance is able to flow to us. And just allow flow to take care of us and nurture us on this planet. So since we are not doing things to get things anymore, we are so used to always do something to get something. But to get out of that whole experience and have like a new experience of how things enter our lives. So we need to expand those concepts of giving and receiving.
Yeah, but adios, muchachos. Nee, ich koche jetzt gleich. Ich will gleich auch zur Arbeit, dann koche ich.
Very, very welcome, Sam. I'm really happy that you're here with me because I'm a huge fan of your project. You are the founder of the Bitcoin Consciousness Community. You're podcasting, you're coaching, you're all into how to exit the matrix. You're doing this since I'm 9 years old. I really like that. And you're doing it not only on one level, but so many different realms, like physical, digitally, spiritually. And I really like your approach because you are focusing on the whole eternity of our beings instead of just focusing on one aspect of it. So very, very welcome. Maybe you want to say some words about your work, your life, your vision, whatever you feel like sharing.
Oh, thank you very much for having me on this podcast. And yes, I'm Sama Kataro in this Bitcoin space. And so what I did about 5 years ago was that I completely surrendered to the universe. So I stopped doing things for popularity or for money and all these things. And then this journey since then has been very interesting. And this Bitcoin consciousness community and these kind of things has come out of that. It was one of the passions that moved me forward in this void of not having any mind-based expectations. So, and today I look forward to diving into the children of the planet at this time and their manifestation power, especially for the unschooled kids.
Yeah. Tell me more, because I think my kid is now 11, and now I really can compare to his friends that are going to school, and his manifestation power is basically uninterrupted. I mean, we had challenging phases, and then I saw, basically, that's true for me as well. If I feel like a piece of shit, of course, I'm not so good in manifesting good things into my life. But in general, I always saw that my kid is like in such a good connection with the universe, whatever you may call it, God, that it's quite easy for him to go through life. He's not really, really facing a lot of difficulties. I mean, of course, difficulties make you grow, but he's really into finding solutions and very crazy solutions sometimes. I think one time that was the strongest maybe example. We are living in a very, very small village. So everyone knows everyone here, basically. And there is a shop for dog food or whatever, like good dog food. And I remember when we came here, the shop opened up new. And my son went there buying stuff for a dog. We didn't even have a dog back then. And the woman was asking, oh, you have a dog, blah, blah. And he was like, no, we don't have a dog, but I want one. And she was like, oh, did you already tell your mom? And my son was like, no, that's between me and the universe. And this lady, I mean, she's on our level. She understands. And a couple of weeks ago, I went there to that shop again. And she was like, Alex, you know what is stuck in my head all the time as proof of this is really working out? Do you remember back then when you didn't have a dog yet? Now we have two. Your son came here buying stuff for his dog. And he bought like, I don't know the English term for that. It's not a collar, but it's like a harness or something like that. And it fits perfectly to our dog. And he didn't even knew like the size of our dog would be, but he already knew somehow. So a couple of days later, a friend of mine, she called me like, yeah, we found a dog and you want to have it. And I was like, I didn't know I want to have a dog, but obviously someone in our family, wanted to have one. And we picked up the dog and the harness was obviously perfect. It even had his name on it. I'm not lying. And we could never have guessed that name because it's not a usual name. And what are the odds that they are selling harnesses with words on it that fit perfectly to the dog? So this was one of the examples. And I really wanted to, after we settled in with the little dog, he was very sick, almost dead, blah, blah. Now he's really a good dog. Good health and shape and everything. And I really started to lose my fear of big dogs, although he's very little. And I was like, okay, now it's time for me to manifest a dog. And I really had a dog in my head, like perfectly pictured out. And one day my son came back with exactly that dog. And I opened the door and he was like, Mom, look what I found for you. I was like, how could you know that I want this dog? And so I know this manifesting power of kids who are not interrupted in their flow of connection with the universe, with their loved ones and their surrounding. It is really something else. So I'm really eager to hear your side of that story or your stories regarding manifestation. Powers of unschooled or schooled kids. Maybe you know some nice examples or anything like that.
Well, thank you for sharing that beautiful story. Yes, it's a good example. I would say that how I figure out or how I understand the potential of children is not from children, but it's from myself and my own experience. So it's like exploring my own potential and seeing how things unfold in my life. That's where I have the most examples, even though it's coming more and more in children around me, but most children are so programmed still. Mm-hmm. So if what happens then when we completely surrender to the universe is that first we go through a detox process. So all the old patterns need to leave through. So everything we thought we knew and everything we thought we had to do, like all the doing patterns. So this is doing to get things. This is all old consciousness. So when we step into the understanding that we don't need to do things to get things, but we just allow things to appear, that's when we want to understand that we are both the physical body and the environment. So we are both the inside and the outside. And this is, it's just a reflection. So you can say shifting from outside in, so listening to others, trying to please others, trying to get money, trying to do things to become popular, to get friends, to get a girlfriend and all these things. This is all outside in. And then when we shift to inside out, that's when we just start allowing the external reality to shape itself for us. And in the beginning stages, it is mostly like problems. So because it's still the detox process, so the patterns we have inside of us are then manifested in the external reality. So in the beginning, it's more like, okay, I still have that pattern. Whatever comes to you, whatever problems, challenges. And that's how we learn how to manifest, because we understand this problem, this challenge is coming from inside of myself. And it's a pattern, and I need to release that. And when I release that, it will stop happening. And how can we teach the kids this? Yeah, this is another story. But let's just say that then when the patterns become lighter, brighter, like you go through the detox process, you release every problem that you come, you don't fix it in the external world. I mean, sometimes you need to fix things also, but you see the manifestation that you did. It was a bad manifestation. And you find a pattern that is responsible for that manifestation and you release it. So that's sort of the school of manifestation, is to actually take responsibility for the problems that we have. And the next phase is when good things start coming. And that's where the magic really begins. That's because you know that you are your physical body, you know that you are your soul, and you know that you are your external reality. So it's like you don't have to be afraid of anything. Every day is just like a miracle and an adventure. And yeah, it's a lot to dive into here. But maybe I'll stop there and see what you have to say.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I really like this surrender to the universe thing, because, and of course, taking responsibility for the, like, let's call it unwanted things happening in your life. I really like that, because a couple of months ago, I had something happening in my life and I was like, okay, I don't want to have it in my life. What am I going to do? Why is it showing up? And normally I would have reacted very differently. Old patterns, like, oh my God, what a shit show or whatever. I would have been afraid and mad and everything. And this time I was really able to look from above onto it. And I was like, dude, I love it. I enjoy every second of that process, because it shows me exactly that where to go. I didn't take action and I was waiting for something to happen, when I knew all the time since years that I need to take action. But I didn't. I was afraid, or I didn't want to really answer my calling maybe. And since that problem showed up in my life, I was like so relieved, like, oh my God, now I cannot deny it anymore. I have to act on it. So surrender to the universe, it was very scary, first of all. And then I was like, wow, this is like incredibly joyful. It brings me so much creativity and so many new things to conquer. I love it. And of course, my parents are very, let's say, traditional, or maybe programmed, let's say programmed. And they were like, oh my God, you cannot change everything in your life again. You're always on the run, or you're always, I don't know, inventing your life over and over again. And I was like, yeah, this is part of life, I guess, to evolve, to find new ways to express yourself, find new adventures out there. And the biggest fear was, what if something happens to you? What if there is not enough money? What if there is somebody getting sick in your family or anything like that? You're the responsible one, because I'm a single mom. And I was like, I don't know, but I really trust that this is not going to happen. And if it's going to happen, it's a good sign for me to change what I'm doing. And I shouldn't go into that with fear into my new adventure. I should go in there with a lot of trust. And I would even say gratefulness for whatever that may bring into our lives. And since I was able to change that perspective on stuff happening in my life, I could really feel like whatever is there, it has so many sides. You can look onto things and have 10 million different opinions. Just choose the one that fits your flow of doing things. And I really like that inside out thing, because if you lean back, watch things unfold, makes much more sense than going crazy about stuff that are being solved with and for you in another level of our beings.
Yeah. Yeah, the creation is, it's perfect. And the only thing we need to do is just allow it to unfold in that perfection. But what we do, or what our patterns do, is actually interrupting the perfection, because we think we need to control things. Yeah, so that patience and the courage to wait for things to resolve themselves. And when I say resolve themselves, it's not always like things happening completely by itself, but it's that my body starts moving by itself. I start talking by myself. That's also part of it. So inside out, inside and outside, it's like I experience my body more as an actor. And then other people are also actors. So what I will say on one day, or what I will do, what my body will do, that's part of the flow. That's part of the perfection. So I'm not saying that we should just be stiff and sit and wait for things to happen. It's like, just see what your body wants to do, like see what you want to say, and I just allow that flow also. So that's part of it. So that was what's coming up. But actually also what I wanted to say about this transition you just talked about is that from my experience, it's like if we are on a path of awakening, we're going from levels of consciousness to level of consciousness all the time. And each level has its own sort of structure of which people are in your life and how distant they are, or how close they are, and projects, communities. So it's like you can say every level of consciousness has sort of a blueprint of which people you will interact with and how they relate to you. And so when you step into that, it's you have to sort of learn that structure or that level. And, you know, oh, that person is this close in this level, and oh, that person is moving away, and okay. But actually, as soon as you start getting to know that level or that structure of reality, with also like income and everything, then it actually starts crumbling, because it's everything is constantly changing. So you come into a level, you begin to understand it. At the same time, it starts crumbling, and then you start sort of moving already to the next one. But what some people do is that they try to then hold on to one level. But when, as we get more and more experience, we know that the next level is just even more interesting. So we allow things to crumble like all the time. It's just like a constant crumbling and a constant rediscovering of new levels of consciousness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. I was talking to a friend of mine exactly about that crumbling and having different levels or different, yeah. And she was like, yeah, sometimes this one thing she really wanted, and if it's coming closer or partially manifested, then she doesn't have the urge to pull through anymore. And I was like, yeah, this is maybe okay. If you really wanted something and it's very close, you could have it. And then you feel like, okay, it's not even necessary anymore. Then you are maybe on a next level of consciousness where you don't even need it anymore. You just needed the lesson or the motivation or whatever it is, like to reach that point. And that is perfectly fine, because I had the same issue and I was thinking, wow, now it's, you're so close to having something that you really wanted and now you're not pulling through with it. And why are you even okay with it? Because you can't be okay with these kind of things. Things change and so do your needs change or whatever you would try to manifest in your life. And I have a question for you now, because I know a guy, he's always about like, yeah, manifesting is something very different than affirmations and manifestations. And he's all about, you should never manifest something. You should always work with affirmations. And I talked to my son about it and he was like, this seems like two different things. And one seems like manifestation with extra steps. Of course, you should work on how you speak to yourself, but that doesn't change manifestation. And the universe has a rhythm. So it doesn't matter how much you use affirmations, you're not going to be the next whatever Elon Musk tomorrow if the universe doesn't want you to be that and if it's not in your pathway or whatever. So what do you think about that?
Yeah, it's clearly two big approaches to manifestation. And mm-hmm. I would say one is mind-based and the other one is soul-based, you could say.
Mm-hmm.
So mind-based,
I like that.
Mm-hmm. Mind-based is when you have sort of ideas from external reality. So this is like outside in. So you think you want mm-hmm. to be that. You think you want to be that. Or you think you want to have that. So, and then you sort of make an effort to get that, or you meditate, or you do affirmations, or you do whatever you learn to sort of force the universe to obey your mind, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is then the old consciousness of doing things to get things.
Mm-hmm.
Because the other soul-based manifestation is that we let go of the mind and we trust that everything that comes to us will be in the highest good. So it's basically just accepting all the gifts that are given to us. And like mm-hmm. I said in the beginning, they can be a little bit nasty, but it's manifesting from your soul's deepest intentions rather than what you think you want, who you think you are. Does that make sense?
Perfectly. Yes, I think this is exactly what I needed to hear. I will speak to my son about that. Makes sense, definitely. And sometimes what is, that is true for me, I think, what is on the way your soul chose is not necessarily what you want in your life, or you know what I mean? Sometimes you have to go through shit. That is
what
not
the mind
even
wants. Yeah.
Exactly. And I really like it because we can wear so many hats in one lifetime and still if we stay true to our soul, it doesn't matter which hat it is. I really like that.
Yeah. I mean, it's also true that the first mind-based thing works. This is like thinking, grow rich and these kind of things. So
yes.
Because the external reality is reacting on the content of our subconscious mind. So if you fill your subconscious mind with certain wishes, then you get it to actually manifest. So it works, but it's just that you can never be happy in that way because it's not what you're supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
So we sort of create more problems for ourselves in the long run.
Yes, I can tell. I love it. So maybe the most conversations I have about surrendering to the universe, it's always coming back to, yeah, but what if you are like going broke. You don't have no money to get going with what you want to create in life and these kind of things. So I think there's an existential fear, and it's somehow related, maybe from my point of view, to the Matrix. And this makes it so maybe crazy or hard to understand, because in a way it shows, okay, there's still a plug to be pulled. And on the other side, it's like, yeah, I do understand. We all need money to survive, and more or less, depends on where we live. But now we also have Bitcoin and other choices to go through and to not touch the Matrix financial system. That should change a little bit of these fears into motivation, maybe. At least that was true for one of my friends. She was really into, oh my God, I want to start that business. And she had a lot of financial fears around that. And then she put a Bitcoin accepted sticker and it flowed. After that, it changed somehow. And I don't know. How is your point of view about, on especially that financial fear about surrendering to the universe? And there's a book by Michael Singer, maybe. He's all about surrendering to the universe. That book really, I don't know, got me maybe 15 years ago. I was reading it and I was like, dude, I want to surrender to the universe. That sounds beautiful. I will look it up and I will put it in the description. Maybe this is something worth looking into. But tell me, I'm sorry.
Yeah. I haven't read that book, but so the trick here is that the detox period is so important for for the positive manifestations to actually enter our lives, right? So it's this, like, if you surrender and you don't have the high enough vibration to attract the money you need, or things, because you can have a lot of lack and scarcity patterns in your system, then that is what you will experience, right? Mm-hmm. So that's sort of the glitch there. Now, Bitcoin helped me with that. So it freed up my time. So I was able to switch to the new operating system protected by Bitcoin, you could say. But if you don't have the Bitcoin, then it might be still good to, like, keep some kind of job while you're detoxing. So that's sort of the reality of this Matrix thing, that it's not just to surrender and think everything will be perfect at the start. So it's a journey of clearing all traumas, clearing all distortions in the energy body before this sort of abundance can really materialize, and you just go from project to project, from level to level. And so that startup thing, it's like you sort of almost have to plan an escape out of the Matrix to be able to get started, really, to get the positive manifestations to start happening. Does that make sense?
Definitely. And one thing, abundance. A lot of people think, if I talk about abundance, they're like, yeah, they're thinking about 1 million in their bank account. But abundance doesn't need to be 1 million. Sometimes it looks like you have the money that you need for the things you need to do. And that is already, for me, in my opinion, very abundant. What would you say in a detox period? What is very, very important to look out for, or any advice?
Well, it's so you have a lot of energy distortions that need to leave your system, right? And then, so you're looking at effectivity of that process, like, how can you do it faster? And more effectively. And that's the most important thing, because if you don't have a good practice, then you will be distorted, like, all the time. But if you figure out what works for you It's like you can just do it like a few hours per day, or maybe like 1 hour in the morning, then 1 hour in the afternoon. And then at those times, you go like full on. Mm-hmm. And what I mean when I say full on is that like we get shaped by the culture and society, like how to behave and like what is allowed. Like how can a human move? How can a human make sounds? So these patterns, you know, you sort of need to shake them out. You need to scream them out. You need to crawl on the floor. You need to really open up all channels if you want to do this effectively. So it's not like sitting, meditating quietly. That's not really effective if we're talking about detox period. That's sort of, yeah, to get a calmer mind if you're stressed. But if you're really talking about shifting the consciousness, then it's expression, it's self, like all these hurt parts that we have, they are screaming. Like if you listen to your inner landscape, you have thousands of aspects, if not millions of aspects, just screaming for help, screaming for attention. And they are in pain, and all these deaths from past lives and all these things. So you have a lot of pain and stuff. This needs to be flushed out. And how can we do this? So for me, it's been a long journey of like constantly being creative and finding new and better ways how to do this. Because I like myself best when I'm at zero point, as we call it, like centered, fully present. So then I always try to find better and better ways to just like, okay, now I have shit in my system. And then I just like, okay, full on. And I allow my body to like move in any way it wants. I allow it to like, because it could come in like a child saying, mama, mama, mama. Then I do mama, mama, mama. Or maybe I shake or... So my focus here is like, how can I clear my system as fast as possible so I can return to zero point and enjoy my life here on Earth in 2024, 2025? Yeah, so that's my experience of this detox.
I like it a lot. What you said about creativity, because I had the realization that I was pretty depressed and I figured out it's because I'm not expressing myself. I need to express my creativity, whatever I need to say. So I started this podcast and it really helped me. Sometimes I have the feeling like, okay, now I'm done with the podcast. Maybe I should just leave it be because there are so many annoying people out there. And then I'm like, okay, but there are like a lot of pretty cool people out there and it helps me to connect to them. So just pull through. And maybe it's something halfway funny. I've always been so afraid of the sound of drums. It really made me cry. And I don't know why. I couldn't figure it out until now. And what really helped me to get in this mode of getting stuff out of my system, whatever it was, is to, first of all, walk the dogs a lot, a fucking lot. And then listening to drum music that really freaked me out. But step by step, I was able to not panic anymore and see it somehow as entertaining to see how my body changed and everything. And I really try to be compassionate with myself, have a lot of self-love, like radical self-love in that moment, just to balance it out somehow. And I don't know why, but it work. And I mean, I'm still a little bit afraid of drums, but not like I'm gonna run away if I hear one. Sometimes I need to cry, but makes me laugh at the same time. So somehow I think everyone has some crazy thing to, I don't know, to use maybe for detoxification. And I think what really helped me to see clearer, not because I'm listening to what people say on TV or social media, but getting rid of even having it in your everyday life. Just skip, I don't know for how many days I did it, but no social media, of course, no TV, but also no Netflix, no news, no nothing, no no moving images, nothing at all, and a lot of movement and water and a lot of fresh fruits and these kind of things that helped me a lot to get back to listening to my voice in terms of my voice is pretty strong, but I think it makes a difference if you hear someone right and left having an opinion. Doesn't matter if it's about your topic or different topics. It takes space in your head, and trying to get rid of that helped me a lot to feel myself and to hear myself better again. And I do this from time to time. If I feel like overwhelmed with the world, I go back to myself, center. And I need to say, I've always been a huge fan of meditation. And the last couple of weeks, I feel like I cannot do it anymore. I have so much action. I urge for action somehow. I cannot sit and meditate anymore. Now my new meditation is to walk for hours and trying to not think about anything, but to observe whatever is coming. Like walking meditation, maybe. Maybe it's a meditation. I have no clue. What is the hardest part for you about the detoxing process? What did you learn?
Yes, it's this feeling that I'm not a human anymore. That has been, so it's like, I think like creativity is really the core of everything, because it's like every person needs to figure out their own system and how to get the detox to work. And so like light language, you probably know light language. So I had a period where I just had all these light language coming through me. So it's like I surrender, and then I start like bing, 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 many different languages from many different star systems. And every new language, it's sort of, it's like a resistance there, because it's like strange sounds. And so to break through, to constantly break through, to be someone new every day. And then for me, it's a lot with the movements. So I embody different frequencies. So my body is shaping itself according to the frequency that I'm connected to. So then it's also, this is not so human. Like, okay, now my body is moving like this. I don't feel human. So this has been a difficult thing, to constantly break down who I think I am. And constantly become something bigger, something very alien, something very strange. And new beings are coming in, and new races. And it's an interesting process. But this feeling of sort of losing connection with humanity, because... you feel that you're constantly becoming more and more and more different than the mainstream person. I would say this is what has been difficult. This is difficult, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel that too. And one day I decided maybe there's not one humanity. Maybe that this is a mixture of a lot of different kind of beings. And I don't belong to all of them. It is what it is.
Yes.
It might be.
Yeah. We learn from them. So I have become what you could call like a multidimensional ambassador, because by doing this, I get to know each race. Or you can say that I have an aspect there. So I, like, my soul is so curious. So he's just been, you know, incarnating in all these worlds and learning about all these cultures. And then in my awakening process, I connect to this. So I, even with my human 2024 mind, I become familiar with those cultures. So then I understand them, and like I could be out for a walk and then that civilization come or that race come. And it's also a lot of peacemaking between these different. So it's like, I mean, one story is that the human race was created as the peace bringers of the galaxy, or galaxies, or the, because they were in a constant war because of their differences. So they created a human race as these, where these races are meeting inside of each human. So you have this aspect here that's from like, from one civilization that is operating in a certain way. You can say it's dark. And then you have another civilization that is operating. If we say the rainbow, then it's like orange and brown. Now, they were not able to make peace. And this was sort of a problem because it created so much conflict and confusion in the galaxy. So they created a human race that are then the embodiment of aspects or fragments of all these different. So the peace in the galaxy is happening in the human hearts. And this has become sort of a reality for me because I am communicating with all these different races and many times. But when I do that, the mind, it's not the mind doing this. So it's the mind goes into a sort of an observer state, like a little scribe or assistant. So it's like my 2024 mind is just taking notes and sort of, because it's sort of your snapshots, because the mind is just working with mental models. So it's creating mental models for what's happening. But actually these negotiations and these talks, this is like light language and telepathy and all these things. So yeah, that's sort of the bigger picture here.
I really like that. Tell me more about that, because I have one maybe thing to share about that. When my grandpa died, I mean, I was sad, of course, because I could never be like hugging him anymore. And yeah, that is, of course, the physical part of a human being. But I feel like there's a special spot on the island where I live where I can easily connect to him and be in a conversation with him. And of course, like if you're like a normal plugged in human or whatever, it's hard to understand that this is not my voice in my head speaking to another voice in my head, but you can very clearly distinguish between this is coming from somebody else and this is my thought. Because it's located very differently in my head and it sounds differently and it is just very different. And of course, when I tell people like that, things like that, most of the people are like, yeah, you're just insane. And I'm like, no, I don't think so. I really believe that this is what it is and this is how humans can communicate. If they're like on a certain point of deprogramming, then I think it's becoming normal again, because I think it was normal before. Maybe you can share something about that.
Yeah, and I want to connect to this, to the manifestation process, because it's actually, it's the same thing. Because when you communicate with these civilizations or races or groups of people or multidimensional communities, whatever you want to call them, they actually come into the physical reality, and that's the manifestation process. So because it's like we have this life on soul level, like I spend many hours per day in that world where I'm my soul and I communicate with like soul to soul with different groups. And then in the physical reality, I experience the external representation of those interactions. So when I make peace with one new group that comes in, then they, in the physical reality, will invite me to do a workshop or something like that. So this soul-to-soul space is sort of where we manifest, the soul-level manifestation. So it's your actual soul sort of negotiating and becoming friends with these other beings. And then in the physical reality,
this just happens. Because it's sort of just like a simulation. It just replays what has already taken place on soul level.
Mm-hmm. I really like that. Makes sense somehow. And you know what is nice to see? I mean, I know more unschooled kids than homeschooled or traditionally schooled. What a funny expression, traditionally schooled. New age schooled kids. And obviously these unschooled kids, they are built different. And I think a lot of them don't know that the majority of people think that this is bad shit. I see it with my kid. He's pretty open to these kind of things. And he had a phase where they're like dark entities. And normally parents are like, no, there is nothing in the corner. You know what I mean? Don't make things up. Just go to bed and these kind of things. And if you treat your child differently and really look into it and see it as for what it is, maybe it is reality. You are just too programmed to see it or to feel it or whatever. Then you can learn something, I think. And I think what I learned from my unschooled kid is to be way more open-minded. I mean, I always was open-minded about these things, but I thought I'm crazy. And I learned from him, I'm not crazy, I'm perfectly normal. Because when I was a kid, I really was wishing for new clothes for my doll, but my parents just wouldn't give me anything like that. I don't know what kind of problem there was. If it was, I don't think it was a financial issue. I think they were just mean. And I don't know, personal problems, stuff like that. But I was really wishing for it. And I had something in mind, like from the Middle Ages style, like white dress, somehow whitish. And my parents were like, no, there's no such thing. And you're not getting anything like that. It's impossible. And I was able to manifest it. And it was under my bed the next day. And there was a little like a burnt piece in my bed. Like it was just a spot that was completely burnt without any kind of source for the fire. And of course, I was maybe like 6 years old. I didn't have a lighter or anything like that. And my parents thought, I'm a fucking witch. And they were so afraid. And they were like, no, impossible. And I stole it at night. I got out of the house, obviously, to steal it from somewhere I've seen it. And this is why I already knew what I wanted to have exactly. And I was like, okay. And when my kid grew up and I saw that he's manifesting physical stuff just like that, I was like, okay, he's not stealing, because I saw him lying in bed all night. And if he's manifesting physical stuff overnight, it has to be true. I mean, I never talked to my parents about it because they wouldn't get it anyway. But now that I meet a lot of unschooled kids and families, the parents are way more open-minded to these things. So I think there's an increase of consciousness level in this direction, maybe. I don't know, maybe you, what's your opinion on on learning from unschooled kids that are not programmed so much so that this is quite normal for them?
Yes, definitely we can learn from them, but it's also that we can help them because they're sort of operating in uncharted territory also. So we can help them understand and give them mental models for what's going on. And then they can teach us even more, right? Mm-hmm. So if they are completely, if they don't know other people manifesting like this, it can be a little bit strange maybe to teach their parents. But with podcasts like this, we can create more mental models because the world will change dramatically in the coming years. Mm-hmm. And the kids will be a huge part of this, because as we unleash their power, they will start manifesting the most amazing and weird things, because the foundation here is that the physical reality is not fixed, right? There is no spoon. It's just that the collective, mainstream collective, have sort of made it more static than it actually is. But since we are more and more opening up, then the physical reality becomes more fluid. It's also going up in frequency. So it's, if it's a low frequency, it's more static. But we are now going up. So the external reality is going up. So it's becoming more fluid. So it's becoming more like a dream, where more manifestations can take place. And these unschooled kids will be able to... I would like the audience to really take a moment and consider this. So if you have these children understanding that they are creating their own reality, that they are powerful beyond measure, and they are giving a safe environment, then the potential is limitless. So if you look at schools, like normal schools, so in my private life, I work with kids, and I help them to access flow. So what happens is that they start thinking of better and better possibilities because they feel stronger and they start realizing their power. And then they are like manifesting the next school day. And this is influencing the teachers. It's influencing the kids because they create their own reality, and the reality is flexible. And if that environment is too heavy, they will somehow move to another school where the frequency is higher, so it's more flexible, more fluid, so they can manifest easier, because some environments are so heavy. So this is the process. This is what I'm going through, like how I like attract the things I work on, because I don't do things to get things. So it's all magically just... the physical reality is just shaping itself according to the structure of the level of consciousness that I am. And I'm just allowing that to constantly change. So I'm just stepping into new structures, and then the reality just shapes itself. And more and more kids will really wake up to these possibilities, and the parents. And so the parents can sort of tap into their kids' power this way and learn from them how to do this by themselves. And this is about it's just letting go of control. But yeah. But the human mind in 2024-2025 needs evidence, and the kids can give them that evidence, like you're talking about these amazing stories. This, if this keeps happening, you know, in every family, parents will just like, oh, why am I trying so hard?
Yes. You are right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's why I'm so excited, and that's why I wanted to come here, because it's huge. It's like the world will change so much very quickly now. And we can give these kids some kind of structures to help them with this, but the potential is limitless.
So true. I think when my kid was born, I already felt like, okay, I cannot put him through like state schooling or anything like that, because I don't believe in it. And I already felt like the world is gonna change. And if I put him through this machine, he will have less chances of being an important part of this change. And I think kids are the change. So I should preserve his soul and his integrity and connection to the universe. And my parents were like, oh my God, she's completely crazy now. It's beyond
this
repairable.
Is the most important. This is the most important, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And now I think, okay, first of all, I've proven that not going to school doesn't harm you. In fact, it brings more positive things to your life. And what I see is that, for example, my grandparents, they are super traditional, and now they are super proud of their homeschooled. I mean, they call it homeschooled, of their homeschooled boy, and he's the best in the family and everything like that. So I think believing in your intuition as parents is so fucking important, because of course society is gonna wants to influence you in going into their direction because they are afraid of what you are doing. And if you have this intuition of my kid should not go through this, or my kid deserves individualized education, then just do it, because the world is going to change and you will look back. And this is what I really strongly believe. And you will feel so good because you did the right thing. And because right now it is already, I mean, school is so outdated. Even if you just look at it from a point of what they are learning, not what they destroy in your kid, but what do they teach them? It's unnecessary, first of all, and it doesn't fit where the world is going. So even if you just take out the educational part, not the slavery and all these dramatic things, even if it's just that part, it doesn't make sense anymore. If you are open to what is happening on this planet, trust and believe in your kids. That was the hardest part for me, maybe, because I didn't trust myself. I mean, I did, because I have this strange thing. I cannot drive away a lot from my soul path. Then somehow the manifestation things are not happening anymore. So I need to stay mostly true to myself. So this is why I couldn't give him to school, no matter how hard I tried to fit in. And to learn to trust your kids' abilities to cope with the world and life and everything is crucial, because in the end, what I always tell people who are like, yeah, but this is, how can I let loose and just trust in the process of my kids' development? It's like, do you really enjoy how the world is right now? A big portion of that is craziness and it's destructive and everything. If you want to change that, you have to change the way we bring up the kids, how we make them grow into this world, because they can change it, and they can change it to the better, and they can change it into whatever they want to experience on this planet. If we always run behind the masses, we are repeating the same craziness over and over again and expecting new outcomes. Impossible somehow. So I think trusting your kid is crucial. And I think animals are doing it. They are trusting their offspring a lot, I would say. And we as human beings, we don't trust ourselves anymore. We completely lost this, our inner voice, the intuition. So many parents out there have a hard time listening to their intuition and going, pulling through with it, whatever this intuition tells them, like, don't vaccinate your kids. Don't give them crap from McDonald's. Don't put them in front of the TV 24/7 or things like that. Just trust it. Even if you are the weirdo, you will find your tribe. And I think, yeah, I don't know, you said the world is going to change. What do you think is going to happen?
Yeah.
What I think is going to happen.
Yeah. More and more people will live in flow. And so I've been doing this since around 2000, the year 2000 or 1999. So it's been a really long journey, but all the time I'm trying to build a new world, right? So it's like, and I say to my daughter, I say, you came for the party, but you've been here 25 years working hard, laying the foundation of this new world, right? So I've been doing this work, laying the foundation for the new civilization based on love and instead of fear. And this is what what is really happening now. It's like my daughter is just blossoming. She's really coming into trusting, like you said. She's trusting and she's manifesting. She's living in flow, and her boyfriend also. Like their life will be so different because they're 19. So, and they're already on the path. I mean, they have my sort of support, so they are safe. And they get my assistance whenever they want, but they're really going for it. And they're just treating every day as an adventure, just following their heart. And they believe in these things. And they want to go for it. That's just an example. So if you look at that timeline, oh, my daughter and her boyfriend is like, it's blowing your mind. Just a few years down the line, what they will be able to manifest is just incredible. So I don't want to give like specific predictions what will happen. I just want to give you the sort of a sense of love and flow and trust. And we can go towards really amazing things.
I really hope that. But I feel the same. I need to be honest. And so many people are in this apocalypse mode. And fair enough, because it looks like it from the media point of view, and there is a lot of shit happening out there. But at the same time, I think we have a lot of powerful souls going into the right direction. So I have a lot of hope for humanity. And for everyone else who's benefiting of our power and stepping into the vibration of love, I'm really curious. I mean, when I was a kid, I was always like, oh my God, the future is going to be awful. Because I think it has to do with how you are brought up. And now I'm like, okay, it might get a little difficult before it's getting better, but it's a very interesting time to live, like a very, very interesting time to live. So support your kids in being in this free flow of love. I think it's incredible. It takes a lot of strength, though. I mean, your daughter is 19, so you're way longer in that game than me. So you have like way more experience and trusting in your own child.
Yeah, but she did. I gave her a lot of options. So. Mm-hmm. So she has been sort of brainwashed in waves. And this is sort of, you can say, like, so she sort of gets into one community, like a school. And then, so she learns about that culture, you could say. And so mm-hmm. she loses herself for a period of time. But she's gaining the experience of that culture. And then always sort of in the end, it's like, okay, I don't want to stay there, you know, mm-hmm. but it was an interesting experience. So for me, it was not a journey of separating them, separating from the mainstream, but it was just, yeah, you can hear my philosophy and or my sort of ideas. So this has been what we've been talking about at home, but I always gave them the options to explore various schools and so on. So yeah, that's also one message maybe for the podcast that even if you're in the system, it doesn't mean that it's everything is lost or anything like that. It's like they are they're just curious souls, and they can detox and they can come out again of various institutions and programmings.
Yeah, just like we did. So yeah. And it's even more easily because it's easier for them, I guess. Yeah. Not everything is lost. I really like that. So where can people reach out to you? Where can people follow up with your work? I will put all the links and everything you mentioned now into the description of the podcast. So it's just one click away, and you do a lot of great stuff. So please tell me, where can people find you?
Yeah, actually, the podcast was taken down because we were using Tor and VPN, and then Spotify didn't allow this anymore, so they deleted all the episodes. So that's not there anymore. But we have a bitcoin-consciousness.com. So bitcoinconsciousness.com, that's the website. And then we have also Bitcoin Consciousness Telegram community. So I think that's it, yeah.
Nice. Thank you so much for all the input you gave. Incredible. I really love your work, and I really hope you will visit me again on this podcast and share a lot more of what is going on in your world. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, it was really nice talking with you, and we will see what happens in the future.
Love what you hear? Then please support the Wildlife Unschooling podcast by checking the donation link in the podcast description. And leave me a 5-star review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, and connect with me on social media for updates. And please feel free to drop me a text. I'd love to hear from you. Thank you so much for being part of this incredible journey.
Yeah, bye. Adios. Adios, muchachos. Nee, ich koche jetzt gleich. Ich will gleich auf zur Arbeit und koche. Bitte.